Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Eric Rosenthal. Eric is an entrepreneur, writer, podcaster, and educator. And he does all that for the gaming and travel enthusiast by combining casino comps and travel loyalty hacking techniques. He teaches others what he calls comp harvesting and advantage travel. Eric Rosenthal, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure to be here.
So, you at least write some of your stuff is found on the Travel Zork site. What is the Travel Zork site and how is that a benefit to our audience?
So Travel Zork is a combination of casino loyalty and travel loyalty program education, gaming, things of that nature. I would imagine most of your audience is not going to pick up a tremendous amount on the gaming side. We really do cater to mass market. And from the people that I know that listen to your show, they are advanced in that area. However, the travel side can make a big difference. And when we combine the comps and casino loyalty with the travel hacking techniques, I think your listeners will be able to go on more vacations and have to give up less action for it.
And if they buy the things through Travel Zork, there's a that's the way Travel Zork makes their money, by getting some sort of kickback or for the things they buy, or is that not right?
Well, I guess it's partially true. So we do have some affiliate relationships. We have been an affiliate of Founders Card for a few years now. Most of what we do is education and is really not monetized at this point. We do offer a couple of seminars. We've offered a couple of seminars. They have been for profit, called Zorkfest. We've had one in Atlantic City and one in Las Vegas. But really, at this point in time, I don't want to say that we're not monetizing, but I think we're putting out a lot more content than that which is being monetized.
Uh-huh. Very good. So, one of the things I heard about you is when the Revel had their big get all your money back promotion a couple years ago, that was the type of thing you were all over. And it, just explaining what you did back then, I think would give our listeners a good sense of what it is that you do.
Okay. So the Revel You Can't Lose sweepstakes promotion, rather, that was really where everything started. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew when I got that postcard in the mail, a loss rebate of up to $100,000, I can't screw that up. So I didn't. What I did was I found a couple of other Square players, and you know, we didn't really know the edge other than that this was fantastic.
A couple others, do you mean 25 or 40, or do you mean a couple?
There was a group of five of us. So again, we were relative low rollers at the time, and we saw the $100,000 number, and we just wanted to find enough people that we could, you know, get to that number. So there were five of us involved, and we knew that we wanted to go big or, you know, go home, so to speak. So we went down on the last day of the promotion, and we gave them way more action than any of us could have ever imagined we would. And we were the type of guys that would go down with $500 to play. You know, a six-figure loss rebate was well above and beyond what we thought we would be doing that year. But we were smart enough to put all of the action on one card.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I happened to have been that beneficiary.
And what was your idea? How were you going to give them the action? What was your idea for how to go, how to bet?
So we wanted max variance, and most of this went in a $100 Wheel of Fortune machine. I mean, we were this, I will freely admit, at that point in time, we had an awful lot to learn. I'm sure we still have a lot to learn.
How did you know that you wanted max variance? Had you heard that somewhere, or you just knew that?
So actually, I had been listening to a podcast called Gambling with an Edge. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a really, really good show.
Slightly familiar.
Yeah, good.
You can't believe everything you hear on the radio. Come on.
Definitely not. Definitely not. So, but I think logically it made sense. If you're going to give me 100% of my loss back, I want to take the biggest swing that I can. So we had a general understanding, and we did run some spreadsheets on video poker, and we used an assumed hold of, I believe it was 8% was the assumed hold that we used on the slot machines. We wanted to see what, you know, two standard deviations would look like. And we wound up settling on the high limit slots, and it went very, very badly. I mean, really badly. To the point where I went back up to the hotel room that my wife was staying in, and she said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "Well, you know, we lost." She had no idea the amount of money that we were talking about. but I happened to have been in the perfect sweet spot to take advantage of the promotion. You know, they require that you come back 20 times for a 5% rebate. My office was an hour from Revel. So this was not, you know, somebody who flew in that had to figure out, all right, I'm going to stay here for a couple of months. I didn't have to take a day off from work. The weeks ran Wednesday to Tuesday. So we went down Tuesday night, stayed over, got our Tuesday rebate, and then in the morning got our Wednesday rebate, and then went to work. So there was like, you know, instead of going 20 times.
So you had to get a hotel room for 10 times. But if you're a player in Atlantic City, that's not a problem.
Based on the action that I gave them, I mean, they were putting me up in beautiful suites with RFB. So, I mean, it was a joke, you know. So we knew that we were going to get two cracks at it. The thing that I learned, and the thing that was, I think, most important to take forward, is that the marketing department and the hosts, they're not all kind of synced up.
Right.
Right? So if they looked at my play, because I used to play at Revel, there was no reason they would assume that this was my normal play. But the mailers that were triggered after that, as well as what my host was willing to do after that, well, all of a sudden, you know, this became really very profitable. And, you know, the edge was so big when you add in the mailers and the offers that it didn't matter if I didn't know what I was doing. Like, you really, if you had a basic understanding of math, you could not screw that up.
So what kind of mail did they send you?
I was getting $2,000 in free play to come back in. So, I mean, I started no playing them after the free play right away. So I believe the first one was 2,000, and then it dropped to 1,000 twice a month. But all the way through the end, I don't think I got less than 750 twice a month to come in. And, you know, so you walk in, you take care of your loss rebate, you get your additional offer on top of it. You know, you stay in a beautiful suite right on the ocean, and you and your friends hang out and eat and drink. And, you know, all of a sudden, things become apparent that there's a lot more to this than, you know, just that initial offer.
So you lost $100,000. You got all that back, minus the cost of putting it through, because the machines weren't that great that you had to play it through. So you might have, you lost a few thousand playing that $100,000 back, but you got several tens of thousands in bonuses.
Yeah. So, like I said, we at this point in time, we were as square as you're going to get. We didn't know what we didn't know. So the way it worked out, if we didn't have those promotions, if we didn't have the mailers and the additional free play, we would have lost money. Because when we put it back in, like you said, the pay tables were not so advantageous. But we wound up, and for the record, I can neither confirm nor deny that it was a six-figure loss, but I'll let you, continue down that regard. But we wound up clearing about 14,000, I believe, at the end. But more importantly, I had verifiable play that could then be brought over to other hosts at other properties, and that was worth way more in the long run than what the promotion was worth.
Uh-huh.
That's a point that a lot of people don't consider.
I don't want to say it's everything, right? Because money matters, right? And I think I'll take a more profitable session over verifiable play. But if you have the verifiable play, the way that you make this either a positive expectation or a more positive expectation is you need to take advantage of it while you have it and parlay it into two or three other offers moving forward.
Now, some people played one good way to get losses is to play the ultimate X, and when you get multipliers of a certain side, you have your card fall out. Now, were you tempted to do that at all?
I was aware of it. I was not tempted to do it. It had been known that you kind of had to be careful with them, on top of them being through multiple bankruptcies. They were getting kind of skittish. And before hearing of the problems that some people had by doing that, I knew that this needed to be, I's dotted, T's crossed. Let's make sure we're staying within the letter of the law, because it was a lot of money to us to have out there like that. We were exposed while we were figuring it out. Maybe to some of the APs that listen, that's not a large enough number to, have them feeling uncomfortable. But from where we were and where we were at that point in time, we didn't want to take a chance.
Well, yeah, and it's easy in retrospect to say, oh, this is what I could have done, should have done, would have done. But at the time, there was a lot of speculation that they may just refuse to pay people. So, yeah, you had to be careful.
And some people were refused. I mean, there were lots of issues with that promotion. So I think knowing that the math was so right, trying to squeeze out, a little bit more, it just didn't make sense.
Now, having four buddies each putting up 20,000 or whatever you talked them into putting up.
Yep.
A lot of people don't have a network of square friends who are saying, "Oh yeah, trust me on this. I need you to put up 20,000, and we're going to do fine on it." Mm-hmm. With any trouble getting that set up?
I mean, no. So while this may have been my first foray, I work in the financial services field. So I have relatives.
Friends who understand math.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Right. So I have friends that understand math, and I have friends that know.
They believe they can trust you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they're right. There absolutely had to be trust. I mean, if there were to be any winnings, they would legally be my winnings.
Yeah. Right? Now, how did you guys decide to deal with playing the Wheel of Fortune, you can hit a $2 million jackpot, right? So how did you decide to deal with the tax consequence if there was a big win?
Right. So that's a great question.
Or even if there was a series of small wins.
You did
generate some W-2Gs on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely did. So the one of the members of my group is both a CPA and an attorney. So
that helps.
Right. So it helped on the front end to get everything kind of squared away with the host that we were dealing with to make sure we had the terms in writing and, you know, we knew exactly where we were at. Further, we showed up with I don't remember the number of the form, but the IRS has a form where you can whack up a
53 something. It's in the 5,000s.
It's in the 5,000s. Sounds good. Close enough. Anyway, if you need to split up a taxable W-2G, it can be done on the spot at the casino or, you know, but having a CPA on hand kind of made that easier.
But...
So the deal, the casino had the form ahead of time so that any W-2Gs were going to get split five ways.
Correct.
That was nice to have.
Well, and the casinos are not required to do this. I mean, it's kind of a courtesy if they do. Mm-hmm. So, and if you're somebody who gets 20 W-2Gs during the day, I don't know what the number was, and all of a sudden, on a very busy day, they have to create extra W-2Gs. Now, if it's a long form and it's just five at the end of the day instead of one, that's fine. But if it's individual W-2Gs, that's 100 instead of 20.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Well, the paperwork was actually handled by that CPA attorney fellow with all the other at the casino. So I didn't actually have to do the work. I just signed my name.
Okay. So he was there when it happened. Now, your leads to other casinos. So if that led you to a deal at Borgata that was worth 10,000 in comps at Borgata, was that all yours or was that something you had to split too?
So we kind of divvied up what network or player's card we wanted to have. So just, you know, just like there's a advantage to having a BP that's not you. Well, I wanted to have a BP at each network so we could leverage what we were going to do moving forward. If you have a two-bedroom suite, you can fit more than one person in a two-bedroom suite. Everybody else could be a ghost on property, and we make one person the guy over there. So the guy in question, you mentioned Borgata, that was not an MGM. Well, it wasn't an M Life property. MGM had partial ownership. We kind of divvied up and spread out, and Ocean was failing. You know, they hadn't closed yet, but we knew that wasn't going to be forever. And I had locked up a continuous number of trips where I was not giving them any additional action. I actually had my host call me and kind of curse me out a little bit.
Picking up free play, but without generating any extra
correct.
Play.
But so we kind of skipped a step here. So mm-hmm. the revel ended. You got all your money, and mm-hmm. somehow at this point you got the idea. Oh, I should try to parlay this to another property.
How did you
do that? How did you? So how did you get the idea, and then how did you actually implement it?
Okay, so I would love to take credit for the idea. Sometimes you're just lucky. So in 2014, I believe it was, when Revel went under, all of the other Atlantic City properties were looking for players. I was on a list. Revel was going through hosts left and right. So I had people calling me saying, hey, listen, I saw you were a player at Revel. Let me see what I can do.
You say, I'll listen.
Absolutely. You have my attention. So I started getting offers, and I would take advantage of the offers, and I had the same group of people as my partners, and we wanted to, I guess, kind of daisy chain from one to the other. And eventually my name got on a list for an independent host. So an independent host is really a junket rep, but they have, I would say, some pull, not as much as an employee of the company. But they started calling me. And this was really all a function of, you know, I don't know who's selling lists or who's stealing lists, but I was on a super sucker list as somebody who would lose a lot of money in high limit slots. And I was the kind of guy they wanted to send a limo for. And each network and each player's program has their own sweet spot where once you kind of break it down and reverse engineer what you want out of it, you know what you need. And nobody's offering the same level of promotion that we had at Revel, but these things are still available today all over the place.
So you were getting loss rebates at other properties?
Some. I don't want to say that everybody was giving me a loss rebate, but I've definitely gotten others, not to that scale.
But were you, like, so you get an offer from another property. Mm-hmm. Would you just go in and stiff them, or would you give them play?
No. So where it would start would be a conversation with the host. You know, for this game to work, I think the social engineering of meeting people and finding out what is advantageous to them. And I steal Bob's line all the time, the caring and feeding of a host is the most important thing that you can do. We found ways to agree to things on the front end, as well as if I hit certain numbers on the back end, I knew that this would be profitable. Not to the same number, not to the same degree, but all of a sudden now we have an alliance in a different property.
But you're no longer playing $100 Wheel of Fortune.
No, I'm not. But I know what they needed. And if you can think back to 2014 and 2015, Atlantic City was not doing very well. They wanted players, right? So I am no Don Johnson. I did not. I was not able to command the type of deals that he did. But relative to my bankroll or this joint bankroll, I was able to get a number of concessions along the way that made it appealing to continue. And those things.
So can you give us an example of what did you start playing now? Did you turn into a blackjack player, a video poker player? And what kind of deal were you able to structure?
Okay, so I was a blackjack player. So not a blackjack player like you're a blackjack player, but I was a blackjack player.
You knew at least basic strategy, right?
Competent basic strategy and a basic high-low, but my spread was not enough to where anybody would.
Right, because you're getting your EV from the comps,
correct.
Not from this. From
correct.
And the worst thing for you would be to get hit as a card counter doing this.
There's no reason. Based on what I'm looking to pull from this, I want them to smile when they see me. I want them to know my name.
Yeah.
I want it to be my legit player's card that I'm handing them. So I'm willing to take, 10 cents of loss for a dollar of comp, as long as I'm able to use that dollar of comp.
But when you say dollar of comp, you're not just talking about rooms and food. You want cash comp.
Correct. Right.
Okay. And that was coming in the form of airfare or?
We've gotten airfare. So there was multiple airfare. There was free play given up front. Large amounts of match play. The RFB does count into the equation, but that's sure. Not enough to, take the fluctuation of bankroll.
Now, how would you transfer? You mentioned that you wanted others in your group to be the different big better at
right.
These places. How did you transfer your sort of good name to one of your teammates?
Introduction followed by big play.
Oh, okay. So you went in, you said, look, this is my buddy. He bets like I do. Can he get the same deal you're giving me?
Right. So
it, okay.
Right. So it would start out as two of us went. And, we would play together and we knew what type of action was required to get what we were looking for. And we were willing to agree to back end as long as we met those requirements. Well, now your buddy has a good name because you've met those requirements, right?
Yeah.
And again, you're able to kind of daisy chain from one to the other. And the timing matters because the same hosts that we were dealing with, we had four properties close. I mean, there were a lot of people moving around.
Yeah.
And when you have a good name, and I think it's important to also mention you need to have good central credit. You know, they need to verify who you are and know that, you know, you're coming with cash and they can see that you're pulling money and using money. They became much easier to work with. And again, it's all relative, right? We weren't going in and throwing six figures at a slot machine anymore, but we told them that coming in, right? You're looking for players. We're players. We're going to give you action. We want X, Y, and Z. What do you need to see to be able to be comfortable giving that to us?
And I think you really nailed it when you said you form an alliance with your host, you know. So what kind of guarantees were they looking for? What kind of action did they want from you? How many hours a day? What kind of average bet?
It was really low. It was nowhere near what we had expected. 4 hours a day at a $300 to $500 average was enough to get a lot of the things that we were looking for. And we weren't shooting the moon. This was, you know, kind of maintaining our good name while asking for as much as we thought we could get. And we made some errors along the way. Let me be clear, right? You don't necessarily, and I think this is true of most players, you don't understand your value to the casino, right? Whether the fluctuation in your bankroll is in line with your theoretical. You know, they're willing to give you a lot more on theoretical than they are on actual.
Well, unless it's a loss, right?
Well, it's got to be a big loss.
A big loss,
so that's,
yeah.
Right, so that's the other thing. You know, they're in Atlantic City, at least, they weren't looking to do anything additional until you showed at least 10,000 as a loss, and they were looking for higher numbers.
Well, but if you're betting $300 to $500 a hand for 4 hours a day, you can easily lose 10,000.
And I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but that, like, there was no discussion under 10,000. That was their floor. Like, don't even ask me for anything else unless we're at that number, unless your Theo supports it.
Right. Okay. And did you ever,
the word is rat hole.
Well, I was going to say ways to make your losses look bigger than they were.
I prefer going south to rat hole, but whatever's better. So I will I can honestly say that it's not something that I do because I'm the clumsiest one in the group and I don't think I could pull it off. But we are keenly aware of what games you are. It's easier for chips to disappear from and what type of action is required where black chips could disappear and not just green. And I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but I can tell you I didn't do it.
Okay, good.
So that implies that you have spread out to other games, or at least some of your partners have.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's definitely a lot of, well, I don't say a lot of, there are other games where you can build losses much easier than blackjack.
Agreed.
Right, and blackjack would not be the way that I would do that today.
And at some point, did you then start moving to other venues?
Yeah.
Say, this is working great in Atlantic City, let's go try wherever.
Well, it was...
Was it because the host started calling you from other places?
Combination of the two. So I was really learning about travel hacking at the time. That was my interest and study prior to, you know, this Revel deal falling in my lap.
All right, before we hear about the travel hacking, which is actually going
to Sorry, I seem to have monopolized this, Bob, from you.
No, this is not a
I'm
problem.
I'm fascinated by all this.
This is exactly where we want to go today, and we're going to sneak some commercials in, but...
if you must.
Consider myself that I must, and then we'll definitely get back and talk about travel hacking, going south on an airline or something. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In September, there are two promotions going. First is $600,000 Money Madness promotion, where there are two casino-wide progressives going on all the time. Big one starts at $10,000, must be hit before $25,000. And if you're playing when somebody else hits it, you get $25 of free play. Smaller one goes off between $1,000 and $2,500 and hits about three times a day. You are eligible for both progressives so long as your card is in and you've played at least $1 in the past 60 seconds. The second monthly promotion is for bottles of moonshine. Play 500 points per week and earn one bottle of City Lights Shine. Max of two bottles per week with your choice of four different flavors. These bottles are specially labeled to commemorate the inaugural South Point 400 NASCAR race, which will be held September 16th. The video poker classes are over for this semester. We will be starting again in January. Trust me, you will hear about that at the time. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play a lot of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is Double Super Times Pay. This is a 7-coin per line game. You have a 1 in 15 chance to get a multiplier between 2x and 10x on the deal, and a second independent 1 in 15 chance of getting a 2x to 10x multiplier on the draw. If you receive two multipliers, say 3x and 4x, they are added together to become 7x. They're not multiplied together to become 12x. If you get a dealt royal flush, which happens every 650,000 hands about, there's still a 1 in 15 chance of getting a multiplier. But if you do get the multiplier, it's always going to be 20x for the deal and the draw combined. If you're playing a big enough machine, 20x on adult dollar 10 play, that's could be a life-changing experience for some people. The return on the game is approximately a 0.5% more than the base game, and there are no strategy deviations required to play this game. Because so much is on that dealt royal, or 1/15th of the dealt royals when you get the multiplier, this is a significantly higher variance than the base game. All right, we're back talking to Eric Rosenthal. He was telling us that he was travel hacking. So what does that mean?
I think a generic way of explaining it would be deriving more value through various arbitrage opportunities, really, where you're able...
Arbitrage. Why, yeah. What do you mean arbitrage?
So
arbitrage means you buy something for 3 cents and sell it for four. Or something.
Or you transfer it from one place to another and receive more value due to the transfer.
Uh-huh. Ah. So how are you using it in this context?
Well, again, in that timing, the other thing, I am a casino nerd, podcast nerd, and I look into the details. And there were people doing things called manufactured spend. Okay, so manufactured spend is basically when you make a purchase that either is not really a purchase, or you're able to make a purchase and move the product, but you're generating points, miles, whatever it is in the meantime, where the value is greater than the cost of the transaction. Right. So the thing that I figured out as I was casino hopping is that at least at that time, and it's still available today, cash equivalents were available for purchase via credit card. And I knew that I needed to churn a fair amount of money, you know, just like you need to get money down in a AP play, I needed to get money down through my credit card to churn points, miles, whatever, so that the world opens up. And as much time as I was spending in a casino and as much questions as I was asking and learning, you know, there's nothing easier than buying a cash equivalent, turning it into cash or check, deposit it in the bank, and pay off your credit card.
Still? Is that still can you give us an example, like today, of how that?
Well, I can give you an example of one that just died, and I'll let you, I guess, extrapolate from there. I don't want to kill. There's a few of them out there right now that I don't want to be the guy that you'll be getting emails about me for months about, you know, how'd you let that guy say that? So I was using Total Reward gift cards for quite a while. And you were able to purchase Total Reward gift cards. You get 5x points on their credit card. And the Total Reward gift card could be turned into a Visa debit card in very specific locations. This required a fair amount of travel to unload, but this was possible. And those Visa debit cards could then have been brought to a Walmart or a post office, turned into a money order, and then deposited at the bank. And money orders were then used in multiple ways. You know, the cages here in Vegas would take money orders to pay off markers. The banks, you know, I happen to own a business, so to have a business account where you could deposit money orders, that made things easier. But that was used not only, Total Rewards is the example, but that process can be duplicated or at least replicated. And there are a lot of travel credit cards out there where the points are actually really, really valuable. And they create a separate currency that you can use. And when you're combining them with offers that you're getting plus deals that you're making, right, either, you know, on the front end or the back end, kind of opens up the world.
So can you tell us some of the best cards that everybody should have?
I don't think there's any card that everybody should have. I think it depends on what your goals are. I'm an Amex guy. Okay, so I have Amex Platinum Business, Amex Platinum Personal. The Chase Ultimate Reward points have substantial value. I'm not breaking any news here. Those are, you know, really the 1, 2, 3, and 4 between the their Sapphire cards. But it depends on what you're looking to redeem for. And so the funny thing is, right, so you mentioned airfare, right? So if I'm using my credit card points to pay for a flight, it would show up as revenue. So if I needed to get it, you know, if I needed to get cash at the cage for my flight and it was paid for with American Express member reward points, there was no difference to the airline and there was no difference to the cage. This was a revenue ticket that was going to be reimbursed.
So you pay $800 with your credit card and the cage will pay you $800 in cash.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't pay $800 on my credit card. I used points that were generated through the credit card via either manufactured spend or other arbitrage opportunities. And I was able to, you know, basically, if we're talking from a cash accounting standpoint, not pay for the ticket, get the airline, well, get the issuing bank of the credit card company to pay the airline and then have the cage reimburse me for the ticket that somebody else paid for.
And sometimes you get two casinos to reimburse you for the same ticket.
Oh, my friend, I love it. Yeah, absolutely, right? So you want to give play to a couple of places so that, you know, you're going to be in town and that receipt counts for each cage.
Right. And okay, so you mentioned American Express. So right. I have a Business Platinum and mm-hmm. I have a, what is it, SPG? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both of those have pretty substantial annual fees,
yep.
which are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just pay those every year or do you?
Oh, I pay a lot in annual fees.
Or do you do them for a year and then drop them?
No. I don't do that. As long as you can extract enough value to cover the annual fee, you're better off having it than not. Both your credit profile as well as You don't know what's going to come available in the future, right? So I'm happy to pay it. The Amex, what am I? I'm in for
$1,000. You're willing to pay it. Nobody's happy to pay anything.
Well, if I can extract $4,000 in value and pay $1,000 for it, I'm happy to pay it.
And I'd be willing to pay it.
Different strokes for different folks, right, Bob?
I mean, the other problem that I have is keeping track of all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I have points that I forgot I have, and, you know, I mean, how do you just...
There are programs that do it for you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, is it okay to plug?
Sure. All right. If it's good value for the listeners, absolutely.
Yeah, I would look into a Ward wallet.
A Ward wallet, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they have a free and a pay, and for most people, even the free version will handle what you need.
Do you get enough value that you are happy to pay for the pay by?
Yeah. If you know what, Bob, I think when you know the people behind it and you receive value and you want to see other people be successful, you're happy to pay it. Yeah.
Well, that.
Bob is never happy to pay for anything.
So. No, actually, what he just said, I'll sign up for that. I definitely support a lot of friends doing what they're doing, and I buy things because of, like, any friend who writes a book, you know, I'm going to buy that book, whether I'm going to read that or not. But
I'm the biggest lay down going when it comes to stuff like that. I think it's all about community, right? So the network, just like your network for scouting a casino, my network, I mean, scouting the casino matters for me too, probably to a lesser degree, but it still counts. These deals and promotions that become available that can be very, very profitable, I need people to want to think positively of me and want to say, hey, Eric, you know, you should probably look at that. And part of that is, you know, being a part of the community and taking care of people and, you know, trying to help others be successful.
So what goes around comes around.
Yes, sir.
Now, on that matter, if somebody gets value from this and wants to tell you about something or ask you a question, how would they get in touch with you?
On Twitter, I can be reached at erosenthal1029. Email would be ericr, that's E-R-I-C-R, at travelzork.com. Questions are welcome. I'm happy to help. You know, one of my partners over at Travel Zork is Michael Traeger. I think you both know Michael, right?
I think he's been on the show.
Has he really?
I think so,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, we've been doing this for a lot of years, yeah. And I forget.
Okay.
But I think he has.
Yeah. Okay, so whether he's been on the show or he hasn't been on the show, he and I spend a lot of time within this community setting that I'm referring to, answering questions, helping people. And we're both pretty ready, willing, and able to help when these questions come up. You know, we don't spoon-feed people. And just like in the AP world, certain things you can't just give away because somebody's just going to kill it. But
nothing lasts forever. People have to realize that, you know. I mean, whether it's in the casino or whether it's this, because there were a lot of card churning things that were going on a couple of years ago that are no longer. So, you know, people just have to realize that, yeah, you found this little pot of gold that you're milking. It's not going to last. The reason I say that is because our guest the last couple of weeks, we got several emails from panicked people, you know, about, oh, please don't let her talk about, you know, this little thing that I found that, you know, she posts about on Twitter. And, you know, she didn't talk about it, but boy, they were all worried that she was going to let the cat out of the bag. And
yeah, it's funny. So I run into that a little bit, you know. Sure. So the people that...
Well, you know what? I mean, from the very beginning of Blackjack, that when I got involved, there were people who would tell you absolutely nothing, as if every single thing they knew and played was some top secret, and if they shared anything, it was just taking money out of their pocket. And I always had kind of the opposite approach. I thought, like, the more you give out to people, the more they're going to share with you.
Right.
And I think it's just kind of fundamental to people that, you know, you have those two different kinds of people. So,
well, I try to surround myself with people like you because those, you know, there's a motto, givers gain.
Yeah.
Right. So it's enlightened self-interest. I want to help you because I want to help you, but I also want to help you because one day I might need you to help me.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we got to stick together. That's all.
Let's go back to casinos.
Okay.
Is there any way to create extra theoretical in a casino? What's the value of it and how do you do it?
Well, okay. So, I mean, you can absolutely create extra theoretical. I think we have to kind of break up between the two, whether it be a table game or it be your
video poker.
I'll start with video poker because that's just a lot easier. And you've mentioned it on the show, or your guests have mentioned it on the show. You know, there are some games that report a higher theoretical than the game that you're actually playing.
Yes. Right.
So you need the information and
how do you find that out?
Well, you need to be friends with people that are so there's data available, right? I mean, there's people all around the country that are trying different things and they're tracking. You know, you can usually get your theoretical from your host after a trip or mid trip just to make sure that you're in line with where you want to be. If I was told that this particular game is showing a higher theoretical than required, I'm going to test and measure, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to put through a fair amount of money. I'm going to record how much money I've put through the machine. I know what the theoretical should be, right? That's the beauty of video poker. You know, that's a known, that's a given. And then I'm going to check back with the host and find out what they have me recorded at. Now, that same thing happens with slot machines. They're, you know, any of these machines that are programmed by a human, there are mistakes made, and they will not last forever. But I definitely have received a message in the last month about, you know, some machine that, you know, they've verified with their host, and the Theo that it's spitting off is, you know, considerably higher than what the math would dictate. So, you know, and most people don't look into the details. If the sheet says your Theo is X, your Theo is X.
For a couple of years in Las Vegas, several of the casinos, you could play 9-5 jacks or better for high limits, where 9-5 jacks or better, the game is round numbers 98.5%. So, which would mean it would have a Theo of 1.5%. Meaning, and it was listed at several casinos at around 4%.
Right.
So there were people, including me, who would play two or three trips a month of $150 or whatever $1,000 coin in, where you could play so that your expected loss was a couple thousand dollars, and they would give you $4,000 to show up.
Right.
And you could do this a couple times a month. And people would come up, and it's like, once I found out about it, I knew it wasn't going to last. Didn't want to share it. Certainly was not going to say it on the air. Saying it on the air would have, and bunches of people, you know, where are these mismarked machines that you can get the 4% Theo on for? And so I could not talk about it on the air, could not write about it, but I could certainly play it.
So how did you find out that it was over? Was it not until your mailers decreased, or was there some heads up along the way?
I actually went in and played and asked what my Theo was for the trip, expecting it to be around $5,000, and was told that it was $1,400. Oof. So I was saying, okay, I understand. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And if they're giving me an accurate Theo on a 98.5% game, I'm not playing it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So
your group has started like 4 years ago. Have you guys stayed together, or have you gone off as individuals? What happened to the group?
I guess both is the answer. Since the beginning, I know it's only 4 years ago, but my business has grown. My Square business has grown. I had another child along the way. So as much travel and things of this nature as I like to do, we can't all do the same. So we still compare notes. I would say we make it a point to seek data and share data. If we can make a trip together, that's terrific. The trips that I have kind of moved on to have been of a different variety, less profitable, but kind of moving in a different direction. I spend a lot more time with just recreational gamblers, and I network with the casinos and the executives, and I try to help put these things together. So I'm always looking for ways where, whether it be through the host or it be an executive, how do we make this a win-win? How can I show you profitable players that don't actually cost me money? And that's been the last year and change. It's been more of my personal focus. But
so when you play, you're now taking the swing yourself.
Right.
So, okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit hard when you're trying to share comps. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to break those things up.
If everybody lives locally and you're going to the same destination, that becomes simple. But then when you have wives that want to come and girlfriends that want to come, and remember everything.
Not both the same trip.
Well, it
unless you're
maybe,
into that.
Maybe, well, listen, more power to you. I'm happy enough to keep one woman happy. I don't need a second. But, life changes. So it I think does. Everybody has maintained an interest in keeping up to date on what's available, but logistically, once we moved away from Atlantic City, it didn't make sense.
Oh, you no longer live near Atlantic City?
Oh, no, I do. But,
oh, you mean the – yeah, I see.
Right. And I would say that the opportunities that I've found have been better away from Atlantic City. So I'm happy to jump on a plane that somebody else pays for to get there and explore.
How is Las Vegas as a – destination for this type of play?
I'm here a lot. Okay. I'm here a lot. I would say if you adjust your expectation, right, if you're looking for a free vacation where they treat you really well and you have a lot more available to you, it's a great destination, but you're not going to squeeze anywhere near as much out of them.
As much actual cash.
Actual cash, more than even actual cash. I would say it's tighter in Vegas, but you have so many overlay opportunities between competitors that, you know, there's a way to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've actually often said that I think it's sort of a great way to quote unquote retire. Is to play the comp game and not worry about the heat and just enjoy the fabulous comps. And yeah, so you make not counting the comps, maybe you make 1,000 or 2,000 in EV but you have a fabulous vacation and, I think it's a great way to go.
I've heard you mention it multiple times on the show, and I always think you're talking about me. Every time I'm like, okay, I hope I get to meet him one day.
So we were talking about creating theoretical before Richard so rudely interrupted me. And so you talked about video poker machines being misprogrammed, but you said it was different between video poker machines and table games. So what kind of creating theo are you doing on table games that you can tell us about?
Ooh.
Well, one thing I can say about that
okay.
is blackjack is not the game to get to Theo.
Yes.
They have really, especially in this town, now maybe in other towns, but in Vegas, they don't give you squat for playing blackjack. So.
Right. Let me see how I can be less specific.
You don't want to be shot.
Well, you know what? I can definitely give you some
killing the golden goose is not a good idea.
Right. No, we're not going to kill the golden goose. But, you know, at a table game, you know, you're looking, your theoretical is based upon your average bet and your time of play predominantly. So if we find ways to have my average bet look bigger than it really is, and we have, you know, less action up than what's being recorded, I'm going to build a larger theoretical. Right. So I haven't broken anything that your listeners aren't aware of.
No, that's Max Rubin's Comp City theory.
20 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Which.
And I would say it's easier today for them to not understand what your average bet is when there are lots of new games that have lots of chips on the table.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I, you know, so Max Rubin's book, was probably the first book that I read after everything kind of came together. And conceptually, it's, you know, it's dated, but conceptually, it's just a sound today.
It is. And it's eye-opening if you hadn't, it's a lot of valuable stuff.
I've said for years, I think it's one of the most important books in advantage gambling written in the last 50 years or whatever. I mean, yes, it's dated, but the concepts are as important as the concepts in Beat the Dealer when Thorpe wrote it 50 years ago.
Sure.
All right. So, Eric, this has been interesting. We got lots more questions for you. Is there any chance we can talk you into coming back for our show next week?
You might have to twist my arm, but luckily I'll be back in Vegas next week.
Hot damn. So, if you liked this, tune in next week as well. If you thought it was boring, go listen to somebody else's podcast. Right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.